Good evening. It's lovely to be in the presence of Jesus, isn't it? It really is. We're going to be looking at Galatians chapter 6. If you've got your Bibles, you might want to turn to it. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, then the stewards are coming round with Bibles now, so just raise your hand and they'll pass one to you. For those who are here for the first time, we've been going through this book. It's a letter, really, to the Christians of Galatia. And we're getting to the end of the letter, and particularly we're looking at some of the aspects of practical Christian living. And if the Christian life is any use at all, it has to be practical, doesn't it? So we're going to read from verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so we're just going to go through this and look at the verses and see what God will say to us through these verses. So it starts off, and Paul is obviously addressing Christians. Brothers, I guess that includes the sisters as well. So everybody feel included tonight. It's not just the male congregation here. But brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. I'd just like to spend a little bit of time on this. You who are spiritual. Do you consider yourselves as spiritual this evening? Well, that's a question. I ask the question myself, what does this really mean? You who are spiritual. And I guess in the word itself, we've got a clue. Spirit. Those who are of the Spirit. In other words, I think it's saying for those of us that are being led and directed and prompted by the Spirit of God, it's for those people. You know, listening to the promptings of the Spirit day by day, I think is a mark of somebody who is spiritual. And I have to confess that I miss many times the promptings of the Spirit. But the Spirit is there to lead us and guide us and direct us. I think there's also a clue in the previous chapter. I think if we can say that within our lives to a greater extent, there is the fruit of the Spirit. In verse 22 of Galatians 5, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If these are in our lives, then I think we can say we are spiritual because we want the Spirit to take over our lives, to lead us, guide us, and direct us. You see, it's possible for us as Christians to actually quench the Spirit and even to grieve the Spirit. And I think we quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, it talks about people who quench the Spirit. And that is, I think, when we don't follow through on what we sense God is asking us to do. We're quenching the Spirit. And I have to put my hand up, as I've said, I've done that. But we can also grieve the Holy Spirit. And if we just go on, just to Ephesians 5. I think there's one particular way in which we can grieve the Spirit. I guess there's others, but this is one way. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And it says this, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice." And this is my understanding. It's very interesting that "do not grieve the Spirit" is right in the middle of a passage that's talking about the tongue. And I think one of the major ways of grieving the Spirit is by what comes out of our mouths. And as perhaps we grumble and complain, as we lie at times, as we criticize, as we're negative, I think those sort of things that come out of our mouths, you know, judgmental words, these are the things that grieve the Holy Spirit. And Paul is saying, let us be people who have done away with those things. That's all part of the old nature. That was all part of when we were non-Christians, but now as Christians, let wholesome words come out of our mouths, words seasoned with salt. And I think, for me, if anybody's going to actually come and put me right because of sin in my life, I want somebody who is full of the Spirit, who is prompted by the Spirit, led by the Spirit, who I can see something of the fruits of the Spirit in their lives, because I know that they'll deal with me in the right sort of way. Don't you want those sort of people to be dealing with you? I certainly do. It's a bit like, I think it was David that was preaching some weeks ago from Acts 6. The elders, the apostles, needed people to wait on tables. They were doing it, but actually they couldn't get round to the ministry of the word because they were waiting on tables and doing other things. It was a distraction. So they said, choose 7 men, I think it was, who are full of the Holy Spirit. Interesting. I pray that all of us will have that desire to be the people who can actually lift somebody who's fallen into sin, lift them up in a gentle and loving way, because we're full of the Spirit. I couldn't help going back to John and looking at one person who dealt with somebody who'd fallen into sin. And it's in John 8. You can turn to me with me if you like. In verse 3, let me just read this through. This is Jesus dealing with somebody who'd fallen into sin. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. And they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commands us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. And when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your sin." I just love the way that Jesus dealt with this woman. This is a message in itself. One thing I want to bring out is that Jesus just knew from the Father how to treat this woman, what the best way was. I was surprised that he didn't just stop and say, "Well, now we've got rid of the Pharisees, let's sit down, we need to have a talk together. Obviously, you've got things that have gone on in your past that are causing you to be like you are, and we need to go back to your past and find out the root of the problem and deal with the problem, and then pray and see a breakthrough in your life, and then you'll be free." Now, listen to me, I'm not against counseling, because there is a place for counseling. In fact, Rita and I, in the late 80s, started what we called a community counseling school. It was a three-month school, and it was to train people to be effective on the streets in counseling people. So I'm not against counseling. But what I love about Jesus is this: he knew how to treat this woman. This wasn't a time for counseling. She was feeling pretty bad, don't you think? Humiliated. She felt guilty. I think in the presence of holiness, because Jesus was holy, the unholy life that she'd lived really hit her hard. I think just his presence spoke to her. And I think she felt terrible. And he knew that all he needed to say, because he was being led by the Spirit, was simply, "Go and sin no more." That's all he had to say. That was enough. I want people to put me right who are full of the Spirit, because they'll know just precisely how to respond to me. And I'm sure you do. "You who are spiritual," it says, "help that other person in gentleness. And be careful in case you fall into sin yourself." Good advice. Verse 2, it says, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." I ask myself, how do we carry each other's burdens? And again, I could say so much on this. But I think one way in which we can carry one another's burdens is simply this: by listening to them. A problem shared is a problem halved. And in our helter-skelter society, I think orchestrated by the enemy, we all have so little time. It's very precious, isn't it? Money, there's value in money, but time is very valuable as well, isn't it? We have a small amount of it, really, each day. As we give people time, we are communicating value to them. And as we listen to them, it helps them with the burden that they're carrying. Carry one another's burdens. May God help us to do that in these days, to have time to listen to people. It's amazing what you find out when you listen to people. Amazing how you find out about their lives, find out what they've been through. Sometimes as I've listened to people, I've been shocked what they've been through. I thought, I had no idea you've been through all of that. My heart goes out to you. Let's pray together. Let's stand together. Let's try and find Jesus in this situation together, because Jesus is the answer to every human need. How can I say that? I can say that because I found Jesus to be the answer in my life. Many times I've had to go to him, and he's come and he's been very faithful, and he's met me at the point of my need. Carry each other's burdens, and in that way you will fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. Verse 3, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Have you ever been guilty of that, thinking you were something when actually you were nothing? I went skiing some years ago. And the first time I'd ever skied, I was on the slopes, the beginner slopes. I've been a few other times. I'm still learning to ski, I have to say. I haven't mastered it yet, but maybe in 20, 30 years I may have done. Who knows? But I was on this slope, and I hadn't fallen down too much. And I thought, you know what? I'm just a natural skier. This is amazing. And so I came down the slope on one occasion, and really thinking I was the bee's knees, you know, I was really good at this. And I was going way too fast for the experience I had. And I was flying down, loving it. And suddenly I saw 8 people in front of me with their backs to me, getting some instruction from a ski instructor. And I went, ah! And you know what? I tried everything possible to turn the skis. But you know what? Those skis wouldn't turn. They wouldn't turn. It was terrible. I kept trying to turn them, and I couldn't turn them. I was getting closer and closer to these people. And I should have had the presence of mind and fallen to the ground. That would have been so much better. But unfortunately, you've guessed it. Whack! I hit this poor woman in the back, unsuspectingly on her part. And we were a mess, I can tell you, of legs and arms and skis and poles. We looked like a bunch of picker sticks, you know. It was just going in every direction. And I was apologizing profusely and just saying, like, I'm really sorry. And I just thought, I hope I haven't done her any damage. And the ski instructor said, you guys who want to, you know, go fast, you experienced skiers, you should be on the other slopes. And I can remember just, no, I'm learning too, you know. That's all I could just get out. And I was so grateful to the Lord, because she was all right. The next day, she was back on the slopes. It was a huge sigh of relief. But there you are. I thought I was something, and actually I was nothing. I think sometimes we just need to have a little bit of a reality check, don't we? We need to have a little bit of a reality check. Oh, if we're good at something, that's great. But sometimes we have an inflated view of ourselves, and we think we're something when really we're not. I had a big reality check when I was in a heap with this lady with the skis and poles all over the place. And I thought, David, you've got a lot to learn. May God help us to be people who have a right appraisal of themselves. Let's not be deceived. It says each one should test his own actions. You know, we're very good at putting other people on in the spotlight, aren't we? How many times have we done that? We just shine a spotlight on others. And sometimes, unfortunately, we're shining that spotlight on others to expose their flaws. Maybe because perhaps in some way we just feel a little bit better if we can expose others. What Paul is saying here is we need to test ourselves and find out what's really going on in our lives. David was very good in that sense, the psalmist David. Listen to what he says in Psalm 139. And perhaps we can echo these words ourselves in our own lives. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and try my thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I think one of the reasons why David was a person after God's own heart was because he was real. He was real. And he was open to God. He was saying, God, test me. Try me. See if there's anything there. Shine your spotlight on me. And that's something I need to do. And I believe it's something that all of us need to do at times. We need to say, Lord, I want the spotlight of the Holy Spirit upon me. You know, the world wants a spotlight on them, don't they? They just love to be in the limelight. They want the spotlight on them. Actually, it's quite a different thing to have the spotlight of God upon our lives, the Holy Spirit upon our lives. Test me, check me out, Lord. See if there's anything there that you don't like. Reveal it to me so I can deal with it and move on. Test me, Lord. Try me. And then it goes on to say, let me get back to my passage here. So each one should test his actions. Then he can take pride in himself. What does that mean? Yeah, we're told in Scripture not to be proud. I think this is a different sort of pride. If we are checking ourselves out and dealing with issues in our lives, I think there can be a time when we can be truly, in the right sense, proud of ourselves. And I think in this way, follow me now. You've just got out of bed. You've staggered to the bathroom. You're looking at yourself in the mirror. What do you think? What a handsome hunks looking back at me this morning. I'm ready for the day. Or if you're a woman, boy, I didn't realize I was so beautiful. The world is so fortunate to have me around. Do we think that? Probably not. But friends, I think it's really important, and listen, because this is so important. This is so important. We all need to be able to look at ourselves in the mirror and say, I like the things you do. I like the things you say. And I like the things you think. All of us need to be able to do that. Can you do that? It's a question, isn't it? And I believe if we can't do that, then we need to ask the questions why. What is it in our lives that stops us doing that? Because that's being real with ourselves. We all, if we can do that, I think we feel good about ourselves. I think there's a sense in which we can take pride, not in the wrong sense, but in the right sense, in what we're becoming. That doesn't mean I'm not talking about us being perfect. But what I'm talking about is we know that we're working with God on issues. We're dealing with things. We're becoming what God wants us to be so that we can say, I like the things you do. Predominantly, I've got some things to work on, but I'm heading in that direction. I like the things you say. Normally, you know, you're very encouraging. You're building others up. You're not pulling people down all the time. I like the things you say. And I like the things you think. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? That challenges me. I'm not sure I always do like the things I think. Areas that God has to work on there. But I think we need to be able to look at ourselves in a mirror. And be able to say, do you know what? You're not such a bad person. God's doing a good job on you. You might still have the L plates on, but he's doing a really good job on you. And as I say, if we can't do that, then maybe there's something to talk about with God. Maybe something to talk about with others. And receive some prayer so that we can get to that place. Maybe that's a good thing to do in home group, isn't it? You know, talk to one another about what we say to ourselves when we look in the mirror. Good and bad. That could be very revealing, couldn't it? Maybe too revealing. And then it says, without comparing himself to somebody else. And I think this is a big one. We make a big mistake if we compare ourselves with one another. It's like comparing a banana with a ruler. There is no comparison, folks. Absolutely no comparison. But we do that. I could compare myself with David. But you see David's backgrounds, his experiences, his walk with the Lord. Everything about him is so different to mine. There is no comparison. And every time we compare with one another, one of two things happen. Either we end up feeling proud. Oh, I'm so much better than David. Ha ha ha. Or we end up thinking, do you know what, that David, he leaves me cold. He's so spiritual. He's so good at everything. You know, he never misses a beat. I'm just a dunce in comparison to him, and I feel inferior. When we compare, we go one way or the other. It says here, no comparison. And I just felt the Lord say, as I was preparing for tonight, do you know what? There are some people here that have been hindered in their Christian life from being all that God wants them to be because of this one issue, the issue of comparison. And I believe the Lord lovingly is saying tonight, if that's you, enough is enough. The enemy has robbed you long enough. In this whole area, he's kept you trapped in comparison long enough. It's time to break free so that you don't compare yourselves with anybody again. You're free of both the inferiority or the pride, and you're able to be all that God wants you to be. That's the longing of God's heart. And this number came to mind, I think. There's at least six people tonight. You know, because the Spirit of God is speaking to you. You know that you've been trapped in comparison and it's held you back. You haven't been all that God's wanted you to be because of this one issue. And the Lord is saying tonight, enough is enough. Let's deal with that and let's move on into all that God has, all that he has for you. And there'll be a chance later on to respond to that. Then it says each one should carry his own load. I think in one sense, another version is we should all take our responsibility for our own actions. We should be responsible for our Christian lives, take hold of things. We are not victims of circumstance. We're victors in God. We should take hold of our lives and live them to the glory of God. And then it says, if anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. Well, I don't know about you, but when I thought about that, I thought about David and Tim. Because they are people in the main who are sharing good things with us week after week, aren't they? And don't we appreciate them? We do. I just want to, on behalf, I know of many here, want to say both to David and Tim, thank you so much for the way you faithfully preach the word of God. We are enriched because of that, aren't we? We're blessed. We're built up. We're challenged. I believe through the work of the Holy Spirit, we're changed because of your faithfulness. And you couldn't say this about yourselves, but I can, and I delight in doing it. Thank you for your faithfulness. And it just goes on and says, you know, share good things with them. And I don't know quite what that would mean for you. I thought it was really interesting. It says, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share. There's an imperative there. But must share all good things with his instructor. And, you know, that could be a whole bunch of things. It just might be time. Might be money. Might be a word of encouragement. It might be a revelation you've received. Because I know they just love it when people come along and say, do you know what? As you were speaking today, God spoke to me this. There's nothing that a preacher loves more than somebody coming along and say, do you know what? God spoke to me tonight. The most demoralizing thing is for a preacher to go away and think, well, God, I turned up. I'm not sure where you were because you certainly didn't be around and it didn't seem like you were speaking to anybody. But we can encourage them and stand with them because, you know, they are faithful servants and they are loved very much by us. I could go on. I've run out of time. But then it goes on and says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. I could say so much about that. I don't have time tonight. But the fact is, if we sow to the flesh, and in Galatians 5, we can look if we had time at the deeds of the flesh. If we sow to the flesh, then we will reap destruction. But if we sow to the Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness, self-control, if we're sowing to the Spirit, we will reap eternal life. The question is, what are we sowing? God is not mocked. What we sow, we reap. I don't have any more time. I've run out of time. Simply to say this. For me, I found Jesus to be a wonderful friend. He's helped me. And as we've received the challenges tonight, he's available to help us. There's grace available. We can come and look to him. If we feel we've failed, we can come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you pour out your forgiveness? Would you pour out your grace upon me? Would you help me? Because he's a wonderful friend. Looking at the water here, I remember it was a few years ago, a good few years ago that I was in the water here. I was about 14 at the time, and I was being baptized. And I think back, God has been so faithful over that time. And Nick, I've lost him. I don't know where he is. Oh, right, he's there. You are following in the steps of many who've been baptized. And in doing that, Nick, they've just done what you've said. I want to die to my old life. And I want to come up. I want to be raised in newness of life. I want to live for Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. It's the best decision you could ever make, following Jesus. And as you are sowing seeds of obedience in following him through the waters of baptism, so you will reap blessing, because obedience always brings blessing. You're sowing some good seeds, and we're delighted for you today and tonight. Well, there might be somebody here who's saying, well, that's all very good for you, but do you know what? I don't know Jesus. I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. And if you don't know Jesus, can I just say, Jesus loves you more than you could ever know. And tonight, he's reaching out for you. He knows your name. He knows all about you. He loves you very much. He's committed to you. He's got a plan for you. There's a destiny for you. It's all there waiting for you. And he's wanting you to respond to him. Why do you need Jesus? Let me just read a few things. It's because you have a past. You can't go back, but he can. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can walk into those places of sin and failure. He can wipe the slate clean and give you a new beginning. You see, Jesus can do that for you tonight. You need Jesus because you need a friend. Jesus knows the worst about you, but believes the best. Why? Because he sees you not as you are right now, but as you will be when he gets through with you. Because God wants to work in your life. What a friend. What a friend who knows all about us and loves us still. But we need Jesus. You need Jesus tonight because he holds the future. Who else are you going to trust? In his hands, you are safe and secure. Today, tomorrow, and for eternity, his word says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. To give you a future and a hope. That's why you need Jesus tonight. If you don't know Jesus, then tonight you can. Because he's here and he's calling you. Let's just pray together. Just in the quietness, just for a moment. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Ask him to underline things that are relevant to you. Things that you felt he's spoken into your life. Ask him to underline them tonight. Lord, the things you've spoken to me, would you underline them in my heart? That I might follow through on what you've spoken to me. And for any who don't know Jesus, I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if it resonates in your heart, just respond. And at the end, just in your heart, say amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for being a friend to me that I hadn't realized. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on a cross to take away my sin. And I confess my sin and my selfishness to you tonight. I'm sorry, Lord. Would you forgive me? Lord Jesus, would you come in to my life? I want to start anew. I want the slate of the past to be wiped clean. I want to follow you tonight and for the rest of my days. Come into my life and help me to live the life that you created me for. And thank you, Jesus, that as I respond to you, you are preparing a place for me in heaven. Thank you for that wonderful hope of eternal life made possible through your death on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. I receive you tonight into my life. Thank you, Lord. Now, if that resonates with you, if you are saying, yes, I want to come to know Jesus. Or maybe you've known him and you've fallen away and you want to come back tonight, with every head bowed, I'll just have my eyes open. Would you just raise your hand so I can see, and so I can just pray for you and support you and bless you as you go. If that prayer resonated in your heart, if you want to give your life to Jesus tonight, then just, I'm looking around now, just raise your hand. And I can then have you in my prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our thoughts. You know our desires. You know our response to you. May each one of us respond to you in a fresh and new way tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.